Welcome to the Family Bible Study. This will be Family Radio's Jeremiah Study, number 168.
Again, together we're going to look into the Word of God to discover what God would teach us, how marvelous it is that when we go into the Bible, we know that we are going into the absolute source of truth, the ultimate authority. That is what the Bible is. Now, we have been spending a lot of time in the book of Jeremiah, and we finally got to a verse in Jeremiah 7 about cutting off hair, and that was a signpost that brought us into Ezekiel chapter 5. And so we're spending just a little bit of time in Ezekiel 5, and as we do this, we're finding that it is a signpost that directs us into Revelation. And so we're going to spend a little time in Ezekiel 5 and then a little time in Revelation, and then we'll finally hopefully get back to Jeremiah 7 where we left off. We were looking at Ezekiel chapter 5, and we were struck there by the fact that it began that Ezekiel, who is set forth in this particular setting as a picture of the Judah and Israel of that day, but also of the end of Judah, actually, because Israel had already been destroyed 100 years earlier, but also a picture, ultimately a picture of the end time churches and congregations, because we're going to see this particularly as we look a little bit further into Ezekiel chapter 5. And remember, he was told to cut off his hair. And to cut off his hair, remember, we saw meant there is no more covering for sin. He was to cut off his hair and divide it into three parts. And one third part was would be burned. And when thou shalt take a third part and smite it about with a knife, and then the other third part is to be scattered with the wind. And we just made an allusion to the fact that that related to something in Revelation. Before we look at that in Revelation, we went on and on in Ezekiel 5. And then when we come to verse 12, God again is talking about a third part. This becomes a very, very important piece of information. God is referring to it a second time. In the meantime, between these two references to a third part, we find that in verse 8, we had looked at that in an earlier study, Behold, I, even I, am against thee and will execute judgments in the midst of thee in the sight of the nations. And we learn that the judgments are the carrying out of the law of God, whatever God has decreed, in this context, over against the local congregations, which were the representation of the kingdom of God for over 1950 years. And finally, judgment came. As we read in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, that judgment begins with the house of God. And we learned that judgment has to do with the carrying out of the various laws that speak about God's program that will finally lead up until the very end of the world, and then destroy this world by fire, this whole universe by fire. And that period of judging, we learned, was that period of the Great Tribulation. And so that already we are in a time of judgment. The hour of judgment has come. Christ has already come as the judge. And so when we're reading here in verse 8, I will come and I am against thee and will execute judgment in the midst of thee in the sight of the nations. This is something that is going on today. This is not future. This is not something that's already been accomplished. It's something that is presently going on, and it has to do with the casting away of the third part. And we'll look at that some more. Finally, when we get down to verse 12, and that's where we want to begin reading, God again refers to this third part. A third part of thee shall die with the pestilence and with famine shall they be consumed in the midst of thee. And a third part shall fall by the sword round about thee. And I will scatter a third part into all the winds, and I will draw out a sword after them. Thus shall mine anger be accomplished, and I will cause my fury to rest upon them, and I will be comforted. And they shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it in my zeal, when I have accomplished my fury in them. Now, the latter part of what we have just read, we won't get to right away. I want to concentrate for a moment on verse 12. A third part of these shall die with the pestilence, and a third part shall fall by the sword, and with famine they shall be consumed, and a third part I will scatter into all the winds. And when we go now to Revelation, there we pick up the timing of this from the language of the book of Revelation. And we get the tie-in between Ezekiel, and there are other tie-ins in the book of Ezekiel with Revelation, but this is a major tie-in. We read in verse 14 of Revelation 9. Now, already ahead of this, we made reference to this last time, already ahead of this in Revelation 8, God is really talking about this third part. He is saying that there was, well, in fact, maybe we better spend a couple minutes here on Revelation 8 before we get to Revelation 9. In Revelation 8, we read in verse 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And we have learned some time back and have referred to this again and again, that when there is silence from heaven, it means there is God is not carrying out his work of salvation. We don't know how total this is, but we do know that we have learned that this identified with the beginning of the Great Tribulation period, and we did know that it was the first part of that Great Tribulation period, when for several years there was utter consternation, and we didn't know about it at the time, but God had departed from the local congregation, so there was no more application or applying of the Word of God to those who heard the Word, so there was no one being saved, and God had not yet officially begun his program of the latter rain. That actually identifies with the end of this half hour. The half hour is half of the hour of judgment. In other places, God speaks about the hour of judgment, and this this was that half hour was probably the most terrible half hour the world has experienced, because here's a world of over 6 billion people, and church now has been officially set aside as being the caretaker of the Word of God. It no longer has a mandate to evangelize. God is not using it to save anybody, and yet he has not officially started the latter rain, which officially, from everything we can read in the Bible, began after that half hour, that is, during the last part of the Great Tribulation. And it is in that connection, as he talks about that half hour, he gets down to verse he says in verse 2, and I saw Revelation 8, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And then we get down to verse 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. That phrase, all green grass, is a little difficult. However, it is probably referring, I'm not saying this dogmatically, but it's probably referring to the fact that in the local congregations there is no more the true believers have been driven out. There are none there who are still saved. The That is the principle that God establishes. This doesn't happen instantaneously in actual time, but in actuality, that is the principle that once the Great Tribulation began, the true believers are driven out. All the green grass was burned out. But the figure of one-third, that ties back into Ezekiel 5. It's a figure of God's judgment on the external corporate body of those who claim to be true believers and who are not true believers, and as they are found constituted as the local congregation. Then verse 8 said, the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And verse 9, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And there's a phrase that pops right out, because the fountain of waters is the word of God, and it now is not there. It has been taken away. And we get down to verse 12, the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. It's a third part, a third part, a third part. And we know from Ezekiel chapter 5, we're in two different passages. First of all, the cutting off the hair and dividing it into third parts. And then the language of verse 12, where again he talks about the third part. God is referring to the local congregation that is under the destruction of God, altogether under the destruction of God. Now when we go to Revelation 9, we find how God ties it together in time. We read in verse 14 of Revelation 9, saying, verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates, and the four angels were loosed. Now, let's go back for a moment to Revelation 7. Revelation 7. And there we read in verse 1. There we read in verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea. These are the four angels that we're reading about here in Revelation chapter 9. In verse 14, the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Let's go back to Revelation 7. And in verse 3, they were told, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their forehead. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. There were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. And all the rest of the tribes are named, each having 12,000 sealed. But the tribe of Dan is missing, and the tribe of Joseph is mentioned instead of the tribe of Ephraim. And because it says in verse 4 that there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel, we know instantly that it's not talking about national Israel. It is talking about the Israel of God, which was typified by the local congregations, which indeed, the external representation of the kingdom of God throughout the New Testament era. And within them are those who are the true believers. Now, when we become sealed, remember what we read in Ephesians chapter 1? Remember Ephesians chapter 1? Hold your finger in Revelation 7 for a moment and look at Ephesians chapter 1, where God says in verse 12 that we, that is the true believers, should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Anytime we read that word sealed, we know it has to be an action of God. And it is the action that is a guarantee. Look at the next verse in Ephesians chapter 1, which is the earnest, that is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. That is, until our salvation is altogether completed. We have, when we become saved, God seals us, first of all, He gives us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit indwells us and guarantees that He will complete the salvation by finally giving us a resurrected body on the last day. This is implied in the word sealing. And it's not an action that man can take. Well, now, here in Revelation 7, it is talking about 144,000 who must be sealed before the four angels held back the four winds of the earth should blow on the earth and the sea and hurt them. The number 144,000 is a number that signifies complete fullness, the complete fullness of all who would believe. Well, it's not all who would believe eventually, but all who would believe before the four winds would blow. And what was the institution that God utilized before the Great Tribulation began, when the judgment of God came upon the churches, when the four angels that, remember, we read that they were bound in the great river Euphrates. And what does Euphrates identify with? Euphrates identifies with Babylon. It is the main river flowing through Babylon. And so it is a synonym for Babylon. Babylon. In other words, God has a plan that Babylon is going to come and devastate the local congregations. But they're held back, held back, until all those, there is the complete fullness of all those that are to become saved, have become saved within the local congregations, and they were typified by 12 of the tribes of Israel, which are spoken of as all of the tribes of Israel, because it signifies the New Testament Israel, the local congregations who were typifying the kingdom of God, and who actually were, those who were sealed were actually citizens of the kingdom of God. Not only did they typify the church itself, the local congregation typified it because it was an external representation of it, but the true believers within the church were actually the kingdom of God that had come to existence to that point. All right, now there's a break. There's a break, and that break is that the churches have done their work. All those who are to be sealed have been sealed, and now the four angels are loosed. Now the four angels are loosed. And so we read in verse 14 of Revelation 9, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And that would have to signal that the point that we read about in Revelation 8, when there is silence in heaven for a half hour. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year for to slay the third part of man. Now, that's why we were moving toward these verses. It's talking about the third part. Incidentally, I've puzzled a lot, and I still don't know for sure the answer to this, but it says the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, and a month, and a year for to slay the third part of men. And I have puzzled, and it's possible, and what I'm going to say is not dogmatic, but it is possible that God actually has two different situations in mind here, even though, and God wrote the Bible, you know, so that it's not very easy to decipher or find the final truth. But first of all, the hour and a day. We do know that the Great Tribulation, and certainly this is signaling the beginning, there will be Great Tribulation, such as the world has never known, and that's because the four angels have been loosed. That is, Babylon, that is the kingdom of Satan, has now come in to destroy the local congregations, and all of that identifies, we have learned in different ways, with the beginning of the time of Great Tribulation. And that is the time of the beginning of the hour of judgment, or the day of judgment. God uses both figures in speaking about the Great Tribulation as being the time of judgment, the hour of judgment, or the day of judgment. That is possible, that those first two words, hour and day, may refer simply to the overall period of the Great Tribulation, which is the hour of judgment, or the day of judgment. It is the time during which God is doing what he had prophesied in 1 Peter 4, verse 17, judgment must begin with the house of God. And then it is possible, now the Bible does not speak anywhere of the month of judgment, nor does the Bible speak of the year of judgment. So while we have biblical license or biblical encouragement to suggest that the day and the hour may refer to the whole period of Christ coming in judgment against the local congregations, we do not have that in connection with the phrase month or year. However, it is possible that the month and the year refer to the time of the beginning of the Great Tribulation, because there is a beginning. When the 144,000 are sealed, that is when God is finished with the local congregations, and there is the beginning of the half hour of silence when heaven is silent. That is a time of beginning. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to know the day or the hour. As a matter of fact, it has begun, because we are in that time of Great Tribulation, and nobody did know the day or the hour. But insofar as the month or the year, perhaps we can know. That may refer just to the fact that there comes, let me paraphrase this, if this is a possible reading. The four angels were loosed, which were prepared for the period of time called an hour of judgment, or a day called the day of judgment, which will come in a certain month and in a certain year. Whether that is a good answer or not, I'm not prepared to say dogmatically at all. But that is a possibility. But we do know that at that point, the beginning of the day, the hour, the month, the year, the beginning of the slaying of a third part has come. This beginning of the slaying of a third part has come. And that's so the slaying of the third part, which we were looking at in Ezekiel 5, we know identifies with the loosing of the four angels that were held in the river Euphrates, that is, that identify with Babylon that will come in. Satan will take his seat and be ruling as the Antichrist. And we do know that it identifies with what we're reading back in Ezekiel chapter 5, because there it speaks so very clearly about a third part, a third part, a third part. It looks like we're going to have to say goodbye for this study. Time has come to an end, but the Lord willing, we'll be back together again in our next study, and we'll see where the Lord will take us in that.